Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, 2 minutes past 4 p.m. Bernie Miklas joins us. What's up, Bernie?
What do we know today? Everything good?
Everything's good. Yeah, it's been a pretty good day. It's a beautiful day out there. I'm going to ask you to open the same question I asked Wheeler and Ricky Horton. Get your thoughts on this. I know the answer is as much of both as possible, but in this, what promises to be or should be a very active Cardinals offseason, in your opinion, is it more important to build for 2025 and beyond in a possibly boring way, or is it incumbent upon the Cardinals to make a splash to get the people back to Bush?
I'm in the camp that would like to see them be pragmatic and take on the work that is overdue, take on the work that hasn't been done, which is to restore what used to be a terrific player development pipeline and a minor league system that had all of the tools that players needed to develop. The Cardinals have fallen terribly behind in this area, and they're having to play catch up. And that's why they hired Chaim Bloom to oversee all this. And, you know, there are no shortcuts. When you let your baseball team sort of fall down hard the way they have the last couple of years, there's really no quick fix shortcut. It doesn't have to be this 5-year treacherous, horrible, losing, you know, it's all a nightmare type scenario. It's not a total teardown. But if they focus 2025 on letting all of their young players and pitchers get plenty of opportunities so they know exactly what they have, then you can go into 2026. If you like what you see with your youngsters, then you can go into 2026 planning to then add to the roster from the outside in a major way. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it. Mm-hmm. I also don't want to see the Cardinals, frankly, waste more money just to try to win a press conference. I'm just not into that.
It's a good point, because that can, as we've seen, it can set you back a little bit. And I think, Bernie, you know, you've been covering all of these things, and we will continue to knock them out here. But I think that the farm system and player development in the modern way of doing things is clearly a priority, as you mentioned. I think they have to do this at the major league level, too. I mean, I watch other teams. We've talked about it. People talk about it with former Cardinal players going places and getting fixed. But I look at a team like Houston or a team like Cleveland or Tampa Bay, and they get players from lots of organizations, and they have people, they have methods, they have plans to get more out of them. And sometimes it's just as simple as throw less of this pitch, throw more of this one. Or you have great stuff, stop trying to be perfect, just throw it over the plate. And, you know, when I watch the Cardinals, one of the frustrating things, for example, is watching Miles Mikolas. His pitch mix is exactly the same as it was last year, and it didn't work last year. So where is the do more of this and less of that method to trying to get better at the major league level?
That's right. And the thing of it is, this isn't an either or question.
Right.
You know, you bring up a really good point. There's a lot of things they can do better at the major league level. And I'm not talking about, like, of course they could add to the roster, but I'm talking more about making the players you have perform better, just as you alluded to. And there are ways to do this. And, you know, we get exasperated with when young players like Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker really take a huge step back offensively this year. And, you know, I do hear some fans. And listen, man, anybody who's frustrated, they can say whatever they want. I'm not going to knock them. But you'll hear this, like, well, they should trade these guys before they can get something. As long as they can get something, they better not wait too long, type thing.
Right.
And my whole thing is no. You don't do that, because I assume at the very least there's going to be major changes on the coaching staff. They need to bring in a whole new set of eyes, several coaches, to take a look at the players that they have and to see if a new set of eyes with new ideas and a different vision, perhaps new methods, whether they can make a big difference with these players. But the dumbest thing they can do is start trading guys like this away, because you'd think by now the Cardinals are sick and tired of watching their former players do better elsewhere.
Yeah. And it's fascinating to me too. And I ask, I asked, you'll have a different perspective on this, but I asked Ricky Horton this question. I'll put it at you too. At some point, you know, these players all care, right? They're all competing. People think, oh, they get rich and they don't want to compete anymore. That's crazy. These are guys that are competitive in, you know, like card games on the plane, right? I mean, this is their nature. Sure. But there's also a level of stubbornness. And I saw the comments from Jordan Walker last week where he was like, you know, I think I probably was a little stubborn. I'm paraphrasing. I should have been more open to changes earlier. But you have success. You get to the big leagues doing a certain thing and it's hard to change. I think that seems like a wider problem on the team. I mean, and getting people to buy into different things, because if what you have been doing isn't working, at what point do you come along and say, you know what, I am willing to change or try something new, as opposed to continuing to do the same thing over and over again?
Well, that's right. And the one, my observation to Jordan Walker, and you know, I think people take it the wrong way when I have said this. It's not meant to disparage him, his character, or anything like that. But all players have a different maturity level. Like,
right,
for example, Mason Wynn at age 22 is mature and wise beyond his years. Jordan Walker, when he came to the majors, was immature, not as a human being, but as a player.
Right.
You know, he was awfully inexperienced, and he was so talented, and the game had come really easy to him. And so when things went wrong, he thought as a young, inexperienced, immature player would think. It's like, well, I know what I'm doing because I hit 370 last year. I know what I'm doing. And you're so right. And I think as time goes on, Walker has learned a hard lesson about this, and I certainly hope so. And the Cardinals need to give him more help, you know, with his defense, for example. He's relapsed there. Well, they don't have a roving outfield instructor in the minor league. So he could have been getting a lot of schooling on his defense all season long, but that didn't happen. At least for the most part, it didn't happen. Things like that. That's why they need to have a better system in place down in the minors.
Bernie, what level, and I don't mean like president of baseball ops or whatever, but just number of things. Like, how big of a change do you think we see starting Monday next week with how this team is going to operate, what they're going to tell us, what kind of changes we should expect?
Well, we know that the minor leagues are going to be revamped. There's going to be someone new in charge. And from what I'm told, someone I know very well who knows Chaim Bloom very well, you know, they've already made hiring decisions in terms of the minor leagues. So they're not going to divulge them, but they've actually been lining up people to come in. So they're going to go on the outside and bring in people to really pump up that player development system to get the minor leagues up to speed. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, the way I look at it, you know, most likely there's one or two scenarios. The first scenario is that John Mozeliak steps aside and Chaim Bloom becomes the president of baseball operations, like pronto. The other one is that Chaim Bloom spends 2025 implementing all the changes he recommended with his report about the minor leagues. He gets that running, and then he moves into the big chair after 2025.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a tough sell with fans, but I would not rule that out. I think it's going to be one of those two things.
Makes sense, and it kind of fits with what we're talking about, right? This is not an off season to just try to sell tickets and make people happy. I mean, this is an off season where, like, nuts and bolts improvements that can have staying power. Because Bernie, I know, everybody listening knows, the reason the Cardinals have always sold tickets is not because they were always the sexiest team in the offseason. It's because they won, and you've got to get back to that sustainability.
And they develop fan favorites. And if you look around now, they don't have that guy. No disrespect to any of the players, but they don't have that guy. You know, where it's like, you know, hey, we got to go see him. We got to go watch him, you know. I mean, Mason Wynn's going to be an outstanding player. I'm not trying to, you know, dismiss anybody that they have. But they're lacking that entertainment value, and that's part of it. So I don't know. I mean, the Cardinals, it's a weird season because they've actually overachieved. You know, if you look at their run differential, their record should be 73-84, and they're 80-77. That's the biggest gap in the majors. In other words, they have more wins based on run differential. They have a higher level of wins than anybody in the majors based on where they should be.
Right.
So they've actually done better than expected. And I'm not saying it's good enough. That's not the point. That misses the point entirely. Of course they need to be better. Of course they need to build something that's going to give make them a contender and give them a chance to go deep in the postseason. But I'm saying with the team that they had and getting outscored the way they did, their record should be much worse. It's not much of a consolation, but my point is, you know, we need to kind of like remain a little grounded to reality. They did about as well as they can with what they had to work with this year. And I personally think it reflected well on Ollie Marmol, who did a fantastic job running the bullpen, which is one of the reasons why they have such an excellent record in close games.
Bernie, I'm intrigued by that statistic you just gave. Does that suggest luck, or does it suggest something about the team that I don't understand as far as the run differential and our wins?
So, Dave, sometimes it can be luck, right? But not in this case, because the Cardinals' bullpen has been so airtight all season. They've lost one game after leading through eight. They've lost three games after leading through seven. If you can turn a lead over to that bullpen, sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, and, of course, Helsley in the ninth, and Ollie Marmol has set that up so in such a great fashion, you know, you're not going to let leads get away late. And that's how you win one-run games and two-run games. And that's really been their one of their identity markers. They do really well in close games. And the bullpen and the way the manager handles the bullpen is a huge part of that. And I don't think that's lucky at all. I think that's just doing a really good job.
How surprised would you be if they moved on from Ollie?
Oh, that's a great question. To me, if it's based on merit, they would think hard about bringing him back. If this is about, listen, we need to make a big changes. We need to just kind of start fresh. We want to give the fans a new start with new people in charge. Then I think there's a chance he'll be sent away. He'll be sacked. So it really depends what their priority is. Is it based on the job that he did this season, or is it based on the fact that they know that they have a fan relations problem?
Yeah, that's always the fascinating thing. And I don't think any manager sells tickets when they're hired, but a name can provide comfort, right? Mm-hmm. And I know it's this is just wild pulling it out of my rear end speculation. I'm not even speculating. This is just an example. Like if you were to say Albert Pujols is our new manager, that's going to make people have some warm and fuzzies. It doesn't mean they're going to win more. It doesn't mean that people are going to be like, give me my season tickets because that's the new manager. But it would build goodwill, I guess you could say. But I mean, I'm not sure that makes you any better, though, which is kind of the point. We don't need eyewash.
They need to retool a lot of things first. But there's a lot of different managerial candidates that would be attractive. I'm not as sure about Yadier Molina as some people are, but that's just me.
Skip Schumacher's going to be out there.
He's going to be out there as well. And, I know Albert Pujols wants to manage. And he's never said he doesn't. He wants to manage 5 years from now. So, I mean,
right.
You got to have a conversation with him if you're going to be hiring a new manager, because this guy's brilliant. He knows he's a statesman of the game. He walks any room he walks into, people are in awe. He's got universal respect. He's the smartest player I ever covered. And the other thing about him is that during his time as a player, he went from being kind of testy with the media. Manager's job, people don't want to hear it, but a big part of it is dealing with the media and doing well on TV, frankly. Pujols, through the years, developed terrific media savvy. Like, he's really good at that part of the job. So he would check a lot of boxes. If in fact, this comes into play, I don't know. We're all just having fun talking about it.
Yeah.
But you look at the path, right? Some of the recent paths for players that are recently retired to get manager jobs, they go from there to doing TV.
And then come back. Yeah, and I've heard a lot of Cardinals fans say, I don't want a first-time manager. And I don't understand that. Like, if you look at the American League Central, for example, three of the best teams in there are, they're first-time managers. Like, you're trying to tell me Stephen Vogt in Cleveland didn't do a great job?
Yeah.
You know, or Rocco Baldelli, his first year with the Twins?
Yep.
Or the guy in Kansas City?
Yeah, Quatraro.
You don't rule out anybody as far as like an experience level or a type of manager. I don't want to hire a guy just because he's experienced. I mean, I got people telling me, oh, you got to go get Joe Girardi. Go get Joe Girardi? What are you talking about? You know, I mean, he had the highest payroll in baseball the whole time, by far, the whole time he was in New York, and he got the one World Series. And then he goes to Philadelphia, and the players hated him, and they had to fire him. And the guy who took over got him all the way to the World Series. I mean, people get hung up on the weirdest things. Oh, we got to have an experienced guy. There's a lot of really bad experienced managers.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Don't you agree? Anyway, I'll shut up.
I agree.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.